What's up, Bandhive crew? James here. And before we jump into this episode, I wanted to ask you a question. Have you ever wished there was a way to connect with me as well as other listeners in real time? I have the solution. I finally got around to making a Bandhive Discord server, which is people have been asking me for years and I just wasn't listening. I wish I had done this sooner because I couldn't be happier with the results. It's been fantastic. And we would love to see you join us. We have discussions about the music business, gear, the podcast, and a general channel as well. You can join the discussion now by visiting bandhive.rocks/discord. Again, that is bandhive.rocks/discord. Welcome to episode 178 of the Bandhive Podcast.
You're listening to the Bandhive Podcast, the number one online resource for DIY bands to learn about the music business and touring. If you want to turn your band into a lean, mean touring machine, you're in the right place. Now, let's get this show on the road.
This is part two of my conversation with Robbie from Saving Vice. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, please go listen to that first. It is number 177. You can find it at bandhive.rocks/177 or in your favorite podcast app. That episode was all about the assets you need to promote your show. And then this week, we're going to talk about advancing your shows. They do go together. This was recorded as one long episode, but we're splitting it into two just because there's so much content on two distinct and separate topics that I said, hey, let's just split this up. It's going to be a two-part episode. So again, if you haven't listened to episode 177 yet, please go do that. It's at bandhive.rocks/177 or in your favorite podcast app. That all said, here is part two of my interview with Robbie Litchfield of Saving Vice. Enjoy. This is something that is so incredibly important. I am upset at myself that we haven't really talked about it on the podcast in 3 years. The last time we discussed it, my co-host Aaron and I did an episode number 13. Pre-show communication could save your show and your life. And we're not exaggerating with that. There are things that when you advance a show at the bigger levels of touring can save lives. So what does a typical advance look like for you with Saving Vice?
Yep, so I've just pulled one up. I'm not sharing my screen just because there's plenty of sensitive information here, but this is typically what I do. It may not be a perfect thing, but it's one of those things that, like, I try to get as many questions answered as possible that matter. Because if you send like 40 questions to a promoter in an advance email, it's a little overwhelming. That's a lot of questions. They don't have a lot of time. We talked about the goldfish brain thing. You want to be respectful of their time. So I'll write questions out in descending priority. So the more important ones are at the top. But I'll go over what I do. And this isn't perfect. And hey, it might change on this tour, right? This is something I'm always tweaking. Kind of like your mix template, right? For your songs. Like you're always kind of tweaking it, making it a little bit better, a little bit better. But this is what I'm currently rocking. So what I'll do for an advance email. First off, I try to advance minimum 1 week before the show. And usually not before two. We're not a big arena touring band, like I mentioned, so it's not like I need to advance a month or two in advance for it. Like, you got to read the room, guys. Like, you know where you're at on the totem pole here. So, like, I know where we're at. A week in advance is typically a pretty good time to do it. Upwards of 2 weeks, I think, is also fine. So I have a spreadsheet with Wes that has all the promoter, venue, meta information, right? So who's the promoter, their email, their phone number, etc. So I'll kind of sit down, and I actually did this yesterday, so this is perfect time to ask me. I'll go through and I'll send emails out to all the different promoters of the tour. So here's one I sent to the promoter out for our Fort Worth, Texas date. Subject title. Subject titles are super important, especially for advanced emails, because you are constantly going to be looking back at your email in that thread, and it's going to get lost super easy if you don't have something clear and legible. So what I have for my subject title is the date. So for this example, 4/21, and then I have the city, Fort Worth, Texas, and then I have a dash symbol, SVEOW tour show advance. That's the whole subject title. Not too long, not too short, right? Goldilocks level length. You can throw the venue name in there if you really want to get crafty. I think this works for me. It really is what works best for you. And by the way, everything we're talking about right now is what's called a tour manager. It's their responsibility to do this. I do this for Saving Vice out of convenience. We have limited space in our van. To me, hiring a merch girl to run our table, that is more important to me and my bandmates, especially like with me having done this for a while. It's good to have outside representation usually, But in our case, I just handle it. And also, I'm a control freak, if you guys couldn't tell. So it's like an anxiety reducer when I have all this information. And I can disseminate it to all the parties that matter, which I'll get to later. Anyways, if you guys are tour managing for yourself or another band you're on the road with, this is what I do. So yeah, so subject title, very clear, big, bold, capital letters, what's going on. To the promoter, I CC our band manager, in our case, Amelia. She's awesome. Dark Matter Management. I don't CC Wes because he will kill me. He already gets a billion emails a day, and it's also not super duper relevant for him, so I don't CC Wes. You could CC the other members of the tour package, which I'm not doing in this case, and I'll get to why later, but that's something that some bands will do. And pretty much anyone else that you'd want to CC, right? Just use common sense. So this is how my emails read. I always say, hey, first name, a person, in this case, Jesse. And then I always start off with something personal. You want to start off right off the bat, like, this isn't a copy and paste, or at least don't start off that way, you know? So I said, first off, just want to say thank you on behalf of our entire team for making this show happen. The past few weeks have been a real challenge for us. And trust me when I say we appreciate you and all the other promoters/venues who helped us stay on the road. I promise it doesn't go unnoticed, and I'm glad we're finally able to link back up with his promoter company, which we've worked with before. That's why I mentioned that, right? So make it personal. We're all human here. Make it a nice light note. Then I'll get into the advance. And I'll say, in terms of the official advance, if you could answer the questions below to the best of your ability and return at your earliest convenience, that would be awesome. I've also attached a link to the SV advancing materials below, which includes stage plot, media assets, show writer, contact info, etc., like our W9, all that other stuff. In this case, there's no other band below us. Mirror Lake's not on this one, for example, but I would say as well as Mirror Lake's advancing. So I'll usually hit up like Mirror Lake's manager, for instance, John. I'm going to say, hey, send me a Google Drive link of all their stuff, right? Stage plot, anything the venue could want. And then I'll include that in the email. I'll attach it. See what I mean? Going back to what I said earlier with the assets, right? A link. As long as they don't lose that link, it's already baked into that email thread. You're good. And it's updated real time. There's no like, oh, here's their updated stage plot. Like, no, it's already in there. You know what I mean? Like, it's all synced. That's what's amazing about the cloud. It's beautiful. Use it. Everyone here, use it, please. All right. So as far as my questions, right? That's probably what you're all wondering. Like, that's the sexiest part of this whole thing. This is something that I've worked with over time and something that I am continually trying to rephrase and prioritize. Question number one is parking. So what I'll do is I'll number them, not bullet point because that confuses people, but I'll do number one. And then I'll say parking, all caps and in bold. So that way it's like the TLD. I like doing TLDR stuff too, right? Like parking. That way, if they don't want to read and they want to goldfish it up, then they can do that. And then I have my actual question. It reads, number one, bold all caps parking. And then it says, what are the load in slash parking instructions? How early are we able to arrive? Do we need to pay? And if so, how much? Anything else we should know? I will tell you guys, loading in and parking. When you're on tour, if you guys have been on tour, you'll relate with this. If you haven't, take this seriously. Loading in and parking is 90% of the stress on tour, in my opinion. It is the absolute most stressful thing, especially when you're at a venue in a city you've never been in before. Anyone that's been to Brooklyn, anyone that's been to Philadelphia, you guys will understand what I'm talking about. It is horrific. So the more information you can have, especially for a venue you've never played before, the better. So you can be actually prepared. So that's why it's my number one question.
I have one unrelated question. Would you be willing to share this list of questions and we can put it in the show notes for people if they want to customize it for themselves?
I think so, yeah. And you know what's funny about that? So I started tour managing for Saving Vice last year during like the Born Dead. Well, after the Born Dead, I started doing the tour managing thing. So I am still relatively new to this. And I know Wes was so like apprehensive about it when I first started doing it. And I was like, you gotta trust me, bro. Like, this is what I'm good at, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, all right. He's like, I got you. By the end of the tour, I was on the phone with him talking about something. And he has a big roster, by the way, over at Forthright. And he's like, oh, all these bands are like using your template now. I was like, what? He's like, I've heard from multiple promoters on this tour that this is the best advanced email they've received in like 10 years. So all my bands are using your template now. He's like, I hope that's okay. And I was like, give me $50 and we'll call it good. No, I'm obviously joking.
$50 per show, more like it.
So again, just before I dive back in, great question, James. And the answer is yes. Again, the big note here, the big key here, when you're doing an advance, you're working with people that are moving fast, guys, like fast. Okay. So you want a TLDR blended with the actual question. That's why they're all numbered in descending priority. That's why they're big capital bold letters for the topic. Parking, go, go, go. And then I have my actual question after. So that's number one. Number two, schedule, big one. What are the specific times for load-in? Sound checks, catering, doors, sets, and venue curfew. Very important one, venue curfew. Because you will find out the hard way if you do not ask this question sometimes. I'm serious. The last thing you want is ownership or whatever kicking your ass out the door and you got fans trying to get shit signed and take photos. Like, it's awkward, and it's better to just know beforehand so you can budget your time after the show, especially as a headliner, which we're doing. Okay, so that's schedule. Next, number three, contact. Who are the day of show contacts and their respective phone numbers? Oftentimes at this level, the promoter is oftentimes going to be your day of show contact, denoted as DOS. You guys may have seen that before. That's not always the case. A lot of venues, like on this tour, for instance, where the day of show guy is not necessarily the promoter. It might be the owner. It might be the sound guy, right? The front of house. It could be the bartender. That's happened to us plenty of times, right? The bar manager or whatever. So it's good to ask that question. And also, the reason I ask for phone number, not email, is because the only real reason I would ever hit up a day of show contact is because there is an emergency or we're having an incredibly hard time parking. I want to call this person up real time and get these answers. Email doesn't cut it. There's a time and a place, right? That being said, quick pro tip. Before you arrive at a venue, either the night before or early that morning, text the day of show contact and say, "Hey, this is Robbie from Saving Vice. Just want to say we're super stoked for the show. Let me know if there's anything you need." That way you have a dialogue that's already started, and make sure they respond to you, because if they don't, that may mean you have the wrong number. That's happened to me before. So it's good to, in advance, be like, "Hey, like I said, introduce yourself. Robbie from Saving Vice, super stoked for the show. I'll give you a buzz if I need anything." And most people are like, "All right, brother, sounds good." So that's a pro tip. Text them earlier in the day to establish that dialogue, so it's not weird if you call them. And they're also not like, "Yo, what's this random number that's calling me? Click and call." Like, because I do that, so I know other people probably do too. I'm terrible about that because I have too much anxiety. All right, moving on. So that's contact. Number four, question number four. I feel like I'm on Sesame Street or some shit. Number four, catering. I'm pretty savvy about this. I hope no promoters hear me, because this is kind of a trickster thing I do. Number four is catering, and it says, "What and when are the catering details?" Notice how I didn't ask about, "Do we have catering?" It's always like, "What and where?" Because some people will literally be like, don't want to be confrontational. So they're like, "I'll buy you some tacos or something." And it's like, guys, anytime you can get free food on the road, take it. I'm telling you, it's a huge expense. So play on people's, you know what I'm saying? Like, generosity, and like, play the clueless card sometimes. You know what I'm saying? In our spreadsheet, it does say if we have catering or not. But I always tend to ask it because sometimes you never know. Sometimes you might get lucky and someone's like, "You know what? These are good dudes. I'll buy them a pizza." You know what I mean? You never know. You never know. So I always include that in the advance. Following that, which I probably could blend into the catering one, number five, water. I always ask, "Could we please get a couple complimentary cases of bottled water for all the performing bands plus crew?" I had this phrased differently before. Once you start asking for specific quantities, first of all, you look like a jerk. And I was like, and number two, I used to say "for us," and then I realized I kind of look like a jerk. So if I say it like "all the performing bands," which in my opinion, if you're performing a show, you should have free water, period. I will die on that hill. I will be a martyr. I can't tell you how many venues we've been to in the past, James, where you have to pay for water. And I will call those venues out any day of the week. I think that is so scummy. At least have tap water easily accessible and available. I'm sober. It's awkward for me to go to a bar and ask for water and have the bartender stink eye me. I know I'm getting kind of personal here, but my point is that, like, give us a cooler in the green room or something, bro. Something free, clean, accessible water. That's all I'm asking. It's not a tall order. So I always ask that in my advances. I say, "Can we please get a couple?" And I say for the whole performing artist, because I care about the local bands supporting us and their crew, right? Our merch girl deserves a bottled water.
Yeah. One note on that, from, I did a tour on merch as well. I mean, multiple, but one tour was specifically small clubs. There was no TM. It was just the manager, me, and the artist. The manager never wanted to get change for merch. So I always had to ask the bartenders, and I felt so bad being like, "Hey, can I have a bunch of change?" So I'd walk up and be like, "Hey, I'm James. I'm the merch guy tonight. I was just wondering, could you fill up my water bottle for me, please? And then I'd tip him like $2 just for filling that. And the rest of the night, I would get water. And then when 5 minutes later, I went up and I was like, hey, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't have enough change. Any chance you can give me fives and tens for like $100 and 20s? Like, oh yeah, sure. Because you just tip them on something that's free. And like, yeah, it's $2, but they are your friend for the rest of the night.
I love that idea. And a lot of what we're talking about now is like the networking aspect, right? And it's like, remember hearing this one podcast. Actually, you're affiliated with these guys, the Six Figure Guys.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, great podcast. I highly recommend it. I actually stopped listening in the recent episodes, but I think I got through like 100 episodes, so quite a bit. And I remember Chris Graham said something at one point that I loved it so much. He's like, there's a reason why you offer to take people out to lunch or out to dinner when you're trying to network and get to know people, because at the end of the day, guys, we're monkeys. We're animals. If you feed us food, just like your dog, they're going to like you. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you feed people, like I said, we're animals. We talk in like hunger and sex and all this stuff. I'm not saying fuck the promoters. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying like, you know, you give someone a tip, give someone a drink or food or something like that. Like, it goes a long ways. It goes longer than you think it would. People remember that stuff. I do. I remember so many promoters where we didn't have catering and they bought us a pizza anyway, and it'll never go unnoticed. And when it comes time for me to do something nice for them, I absolutely will. You know, it is a business, but businesses are founded on genuine relationships, I guess is the point I'm trying to make.
I don't know if you can read that.
Don't bang.
Is it backwards?
Don't bang the tour manager?
Yeah, or his wife or his dog. That was in the bathrooms at the Gexa Energy Pavilion in Dallas, Texas. It was there 2015 without the dog note. And then when I went back the next summer, 2016, the dog note was added.
That's awesome. Hey, maybe I saw it and subliminally just repeated it out loud just now. But yeah, don't bang the tour manager. I mean, you can bang me, hit me up. No, I'm just kidding. I am the only single one in my band, at least as of recording of this. So that's awesome. But yeah, water is something that I am going to always vouch for. Here's another example. And I love these guys so much, so I don't mind name dropping them. We got friends in Revenant. They're this metalcore band from the Virginia area. The last date of our show, last year, we played in Raleigh, North Carolina. Last day of the tour. It was great, by the way. We had, like, I think 100 ticket sales or something, which was really good for us. Market we've never played before. Awesome. And Revenant was playing before us. And I remember I went on stage, and I almost slipped and ate shit and, like, broke my guitar or whatever. I, like, did one of those, like, whoa, you know, like out of a movie. And I looked down, and it's just soaking wet. And I was like, what the fuck? And Ricky, the vocalist from Revenant, he came up to me and he's like, yeah, dude, I think the local band or something like that knocked over their water. And I'm like, this is why we need bottled waters, not just loose cups of water on the stage. Not to mention all the gear. Water and music gear don't mix, guys, just to FYI. Yeah, like, it's literally at that point, now it's in the venue's interest to give artists bottled water, where you can screw a cap. And if it gets knocked over, it's not going to spill over everything in short circuit or potentially kill the guitarist of Saving Vice and send him to the fucking ER. You see what I'm saying? Let's think about that here. Anyway, sorry. I'm like very pressed about this topic, if you couldn't tell. I thought of a new one, by the way. This isn't on my list. I don't drink. I'm sober, at least as of the recording of this video. I'm over 3 years sober. I'm very proud of that. Our content creator, Evan, is sober. Our drummer, Sam, is sober, and I'm pretty sure our merch girl, no, she definitely drinks, but just like had all these like Snapchat, you know, stories in my mind when that came up. But half of our crew doesn't drink, is my point. And the other half don't go crazy with it. So it's just never in my mind. But especially at this level, it's very not weird to get paid in alcohol or discounts, like drink tickets and stuff like that. You know, I obviously don't use those up or whatever. Sometimes I'll get a mocktail or something if I'm feeling spicy, I guess. But I mean, you know how it is, James, like you get paid drink tickets and stuff. So I always forget to ask that question in the advance because I'm sober. I don't think like that. But you could, I guess, group that into catering and see if there is alcoholic beverages like amenities along with the catering stuff, or at least discounts, drink tickets. That's not weird. It happens a lot. You play in a lot of bars and it's in their interest to barter. You guys could include that in your advance. I just don't because I'm sober. That's all. Next, settlement. Number six, settlement. How, when, and who will be issuing the payouts? Our payout information and W-9 are in the advancing folder I provided below if needed. So going back to that folder I attached, I told you guys about earlier, we have the Saving Vice W-9 in there with our EIN and everything. A tax conversation is a whole podcast episode and it's on its own. But long story short, we keep our bases covered legally. We like to get paid out in checks. The reason is you can just do an e-deposit quickly to your bank, and that's the end of that. Getting paid in cash is super hard. So we have a local credit union in Vermont, actually, James. We have a local credit union. We use, I almost said the name. I was like, man, maybe I shouldn't be saying the saving advice payment details on a podcast. Yeah, here's our routing number. And no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so we have a credit union. So obviously when we're out of state, you know, we're in California, it's hard. There are affiliated banks, but it is a little bit painstaking to go to like a sister bank, give them your member ID and do that process. It's not super duper easy. We do it out of necessity. But we try to keep things in check format for that reason. Check is king, in my opinion, when it comes to payouts. But we will take cash. That's not weird. That's very common, especially at our level. But yeah, so settlement, that's super important. That way you're not like shaking down the bartender at the end of the night. Like, where's my money?
Where's my money, Brian?
Yeah, luckily I haven't gotten to any fights with any Brians so far about payout. There's been some discrepancy stuff that got ironed out, but it's never been like, the dude dipped and never paid me sort of thing. I've always gotten paid. So far, at least. I know some bands have that nightmare.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. It's always something new for us, so who knows? Yeah, I've never had to bring out the baseball bats, but so far, we've been good. All right, let's move on. Number 7, FOH, aka front of house. Who will be operating front of house for the show, and what is their phone number? Here is another pro tip for you guys. When it comes to front of house, guys, the promoter or whoever you're corresponding with, like, for example, this Jesse guy, I love him. I know him. He's a great dude. He actually probably will do this thing I'm about to say, but oftentimes promoters will not pass the stage plot to the sound guy. They forget. Going back to the whole goldfish thing, they will just not write it down and it'll be absent. And I tested this out in this last tour, James, and I made sure my bassist, Kenjamin, heard just because I needed a witness for this. I went up to every sound guy on this tour for over a month or whatever, however many shows that was. And I said, hey, did you get our stage plot during the sound check or whatever? And all but one said they did not receive a stage plot. All but one. That is insane. My point is that, like, I want this dude's details in advance so I can just text him and do it. See what I mean? You can control what you do. You can't control what the promoter does. So it's better to just hit them up yourself. Be like, hey, Robbie from Saving Vice, just in case you didn't receive it, which they probably didn't, here's our stage plot. Any questions, let me know. See you soon, brother. Metal horn emoji. Done. See? Boom. And again, going back to the phone number thing. Phone is king. Phone is king. All right. 8. Wi-Fi. So I debated about taking this one out because this is more of a DOS type question, day of show. But it is really important to get Wi-Fi for the venue. When I get to a venue, that is typically one of the first questions I'll ask is, what's the username and password? And I'll put it in our band tour chat, which you guys should be doing. And I'll put in the, you know, the username, password. That way our merch girl, whatever, can operate off of Wi-Fi to save on battery. I don't even need to explain it, but a lot of reasons why Wi-Fi is important. 99% of the venues I played have some sort of Wi-Fi.
They're probably using Square for their sales by now anyway.
Exactly. It's just, luckily, this day and age, it's not a weird question. Number 9, green room. Is there a green room for this venue? If so, where is it located and what are the approximate dimensions plus amenities? Kind of a bougie question, but we're at a point in our career where we're playing some venues that are really high end. Like James, you've been to Higher Ground, for example. Great example of a venue with an amazing green room, catering staff. Those guys are awesome. We also play bars where it's like the green room's like a broom closet. So I try to get the idea for the dimensions and the amenities. Like sometimes they'll have a coffee maker, whatever. By the way, the tour etiquette, so everyone is clear, green room goes to the headliner, period. If it's a bigger green room and they invite you in, usually the tour package and sometimes the opening bands can pop in there too. It really depends on the venue. It really does. But when in doubt, it's usually just for the headliner. And that was something that we infringed upon in the past too and learned the hard way. No one teaches this etiquette until you burn your hand on the stove. So just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, and places like Higher Ground, you mentioned, they'll even put your name on the door. So they avoid that problem for you. But most places don't do that. And like, I remember we were talking about Salt Lake before. There's one venue that I toured through and it's like a 400 cap, probably maybe 450. We toured through there and like the green room was just like this little, basically a broom closet. I think there was like one couch and maybe a chair in there.
It always looks like the set of some like low budget porno film or something. That's how it always looks, bro. It's like, geez, like, do I want to be in here?
Yeah, exactly. And then I saw one of my favorite bands, who I'm actually wearing an Enter Shikari shirt right now, but this is a band who sells 10,000 tickets to shows in the UK for one show. And they toured through there. I'm like, that sucks for them. They're not going to enjoy that. Going from headlining Alexandria Palace to a 400 cap with like the worst dressing rooms I've ever seen.
Luckily, I do have a lot of friends in other bands. Like, we got to hang out with the, I can't believe I'm blanking on their name right now. Now that I'm put on the spot, the Trinity of Terror. We went to that show last fall. Oh my God. It was Motionless in White, Iceland Kills. Why am I blanking on this band? Atreyu. Ugh, sorry. That was just a brain fart. Yeah, we were hanging out with the Atreyu guys, and like, I forget which arena it was in Albany, but you know, yeah, we were down there hanging out with them, and these green rooms, like, they were so nice. They had their own showers and stuff. Each band got their own. That's so rare, guys. For the most part, it's like, you're lucky to get a couch and like a water cooler. Higher Ground is a fantastic anomaly. I love that venue so much, and the staff there, very good friends of ours. You know, obviously Vermont based venue. But yeah, no, for Green Room, it's good to get a general vibe check, especially if it's a venue you haven't played before. Sometimes I will omit this question if I've already been there, because I already know the answer. And by the way, if you already know the answer for any of these, just don't ask it, because you already know it.
I would add a caveat. If you haven't gotten that answer recently, if it's been a year or two, ask it again.
I redact what I said for the reason James just said, because venues do construction and upgrades and stuff like that. Their Wi-Fi passwords sometimes change per show. Some of them, it's just like password 123. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I guess the point is I'm trying to say is there's so much gray area here that it's good to get your bases covered, even though it may seem like a dumb question. But let's move on. Load in and out. What are the load in instructions for the venue? For example, will it take place through the front, back, right, or left entrance of the venue? Anything else we should know about? I think I could actually probably start grouping that under the parking one, now that I think about it, and just consolidate that one. The reason I ask about load in, load out is I can't tell you how many times we've showed up to a venue and the entrance was in like the fucking back. You know what I mean? We're like, yeah. Where is everyone? You know what I mean? Or the side door. Palladium's a good example. There's venues like that where it's not intuitive. It's not as simple as loading it through the front or back door. Sometimes it's some weird like Harry Potter, tap your wand and the bricks open up and Diagon Alley and you get to load in that way. You know what I mean? Like, there's just so much variance with that. So that's why I asked that one. Next one, backline, number 11, backline. Will we be able to keep our drums and mix rack on stage following our sound check? If not, where should we leave our gear? And again, this is one of those I could get away with just hitting up the DOS, getting that info real time. I don't really need that in advance, but it does give us a peace of mind. My drummer, Sam, wants so bad. I don't think he's ever done it in our career, left his drum set on stage. Unfortunately, for where we're at in our career, it's just not a thing. And the bands that do it do look like assholes sometimes. So it's like one of those things where I'm like, you know what, man, just we'll rip our sound check, just take the pieces off. Usually we get away with leaving our mix rack up there. I mean, unless it's a really tough, small venue kind of thing, we can usually leave our mix racks up there, no problem. I'll probably throw a shell on or something to protect it in case some dumbass spills their PBR all over it or something. But yeah, usually mix rack's fine. But I do like to ask that question. Next, I'm almost done, I promise. Number 12, localized assets. Please attach the official show flyer plus any other promotional assets that might be helpful, exclamation point. We want to promote this as best as we can on our end and make sure we're hyping up and properly tagging the local support too. Wes taught me this, actually, not me. I didn't come up with this one. I'll give him credit. Wes is like, you gotta tag locals. You gotta tag the venues. I can't tell you how many times I've seen local bands will like post a show, but they don't tag anyone. They don't put the sticker link. It's like, you got to promote the show, my guy. And as a headliner, it's like some of these bands are like looking up to us and stuff. Like, I want to be able to tag them and show that I'm hyping them up. I'm like, yo, this band's playing the show. Let's go. Take the 5 seconds and look them up on Instagram. You know what I'm saying? It's like blah, 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 Massachusetts is usually the handle anyway, or official or whatever. And just tag them, you know, and they're going to share it to their story. I can't tell you, which is, again, a whole nother conversation I could go into. Cross-pollination or cross-promotion, whatever you want to call it, so important. Tag the venues. The venues will share it. Tag the promoter. Promoters usually have their own LLC anyway that they operate under. Tag them. And it helps just spread even more. Does that make sense? And it generates all this hype.
One thing, while we're talking about pet peeves, bands who post posters before the on sale. There is a show at Higher Ground, which I have now, for a month, been trying to get tickets to because the band announced it at the end of February. It went on sale yesterday. I was there Thursday night and went in to buy tickets and they said, we don't have them yet. I'm like, okay. And then the venue posted yesterday saying it's on sale. The lineup wasn't final. The band shared a poster with three bands. And then yesterday, Higher Ground put out a different poster with six bands, including the original three on it.
So they got trigger happy.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
We've dealt with that, albeit rare. We actually dealt with this recently, I think. This was a big news. I mean, Vampires dropped off. We're doing our own headliner. It's very important that we're all in sync. Noon on Wednesday, Eastern. I always put time zones, by the way, folks. Okay? Always put time zones, right? We're in Eastern time, which is king. We're superior. Just letting you know. I'm joking. I'm not joking. Eastern time, very important. You know, so all the bands are posting at the right time. Show up on time to the party. You know, don't be the first guy there. Don't be the last guy. Just be there at noon. Schedule the post. They make it easy. You can do it on Twitter now. Thank you, Elon. Elon, thank you, sir. You can schedule on Twitter now. There's no excuse, guys. There really isn't. Just get the asset, schedule it, have a nice little post, tag the bands, heart emoji, kiss emoji, you're done. Ticket link, you're done. And for God's sake, please use Bitly's. Please. Guys, no one wants your Amazon URL that's 5,000 characters. Please, okay? Bitly is free. Throw in a URL. If you want to pay a couple extra bucks a month, you can even customize that, which I think is overkill. But please.
And take off the UTMs. If there's UTMs that you aren't actively using, take those off.
Yes, please. Okay? I'm so sick and tired. My bandmates do that too. And I'm just like, guys, come on. Throw in a Bitly. It takes 5 seconds. 5 seconds, bro. Anyways, sorry. Rant over. So localized assets. Yeah. So like the flyer, that could be like, if they want to go above and beyond and really impress me, give me logos. We talked about social media. Give me social media handles, right? Facebook event pages, which I have mixed feelings about Facebook event pages. For another time, we can talk about that. But yeah, no, just send me everything you can. I want to push the show. My bandmates want to push the show. We're ripping ads, sure, but like there's a lot of organic push I don't think artists realize they can do here to get people to come out. And that all starts with having the actual creative materials that you need to do that. Anyways, moving on. Number 13, press guest list. Very important, at least that where we're at in our level, but very important. What is your guests plus press slash photo list policy? This tour has obviously generated a lot of buzz, and our publicist has gotten a lot of interest from influencers, local photographers, press, etc., that we'd love to have out if possible. But we want to be respectful of what you're comfortable with. This is kind of a tricky one because when it comes to guest list, I know we all make memes and jokes about that. Like, throw me on the guest list, bro. Like, we've all heard that. Maybe we've all done it in an unironic, cringy way and learned the hard way. But as far as guest list goes, typically industry standard from what I've seen at our level, local level, up to like kind of where we're at right now in our career is typically like one guest list per person. And that's usually like the girlfriend policy, right? So like, one guest list per member, and then photo and press pass is usually just don't be a dick. You know, you can get a couple people to come out. If you stick with that, you'll be fine, generally speaking. But the reason I ask that is because sometimes venues are very quirky with stuff. If I get a local photographer that wants to shoot our show, you know what I'm saying, and they've got good material and we approve them and stuff like that, I want to make sure that people aren't just coming to the venue not paying tickets that could be paying tickets. Because not only is it money out of our pockets technically, but the promoters especially. I mean, they feel that the hardest. So that's why I get their blessing. I'm like, hey, what are you comfortable with? Or are you cool? Like, you know what I mean? Put the ball in their court sort of thing. Like, you don't want to be that band that's like, oh, they just guest list everybody. And like, you know what I mean? That's not a reputation you guys want. And we're at a point now in our career where we do get hit up a lot about that stuff. And it's kind of an awkward conversation of like, hey, like, I appreciate the vote of confidence, but we're not selling out an arena, my guy. Like, this isn't like, you know, the class field trip to Robbie's show kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? This is come and pay the $10, bro. It's really, if $10 is breaking the bank, then we need to have a separate conversation.
One note just on this while you're talking about rep. If you do let a photographer come, obviously you've looked at their stuff, so you know they're not idiots. But just reiterate and stress that no flash is to be used. The other night I was at a show and this photographer literally had the flash going the entire night, was pointing at the crowd for crowd shots. But every time he took photos of the band, he'd like jab it in their face. Like he wasn't even focusing. He's just literally just like not looking, doing click, click right in the band's face. And I'm just like, dude, those shots aren't going to be any good. You're using flash. The camera's moving. Like it's just not going to work.
We have a publicist. His name's Tyler. Also, I got too many Tylers in my life. Oh my goodness. His name's also Tyler. Don't Blink Music Group, by the way. I highly recommend them. If any of you guys are interested, he's amazing. We'll get DMs on our band account and our personals like, hey, can I shoot your show in, you know, Orlando or whatever it is. That's not weird. Or people that want to do a concert review or like radio station stuff. We get that a lot. You know, we'll come by the station. We'll do it, you know, which I love. I love that. You know, that's great. But I'm like going back to delegating, which we started talking about the beginning of this podcast. I'm like, that's awesome. Super down. Hit up our publicist to coordinate this. Thank you so much for reaching out. Let's get it. Even if it's something I know I want to do, it's good to have your publicist, because that's his job, is to filter out stuff and make sure that, for example, this interview I set up with you, James, like I did that myself, but like I still notified him like, hey, I'm doing this. That way he's not overbooking me for other podcasts. You see what I'm saying? So it's one of those things where he's still in the loop, even though you never spoke with him. He knows to say what you said, like, hey, like, remember, just use common sense. Don't be an asshole. Okay. If you're new to photos, that's fine. Like, I get it. Like, we all make mistakes, but like you said, flash. I'm not trying to end up in the ER or whatever. So like, please, like, don't be jamming cameras and stuff. And we have a content creator. We have Evan. We have a guy we're hiring to come out to these shows and do stuff. So it's like, if you want to shoot photos, that's great, but be respectful because he's priority, right? You'll see this on a higher level. A good friend of mine, Ian Urquhart. Ian does photos. He did a lot of music videos for us. He shot photos for us forever. He's killing it right now. He's on tour with I Prevail, Fit for King, Pierce the Veil. You know, he did a tour with them. I remember chatting with him when he got home, and he's just like, you know, I'm getting paid to be out here. And I remember picking his brain. I was like, so what, how do you like navigate the local photographers, the press, you know, that come out to do this? It's like, usually at this level, they get a song policy. You have 3 songs, do whatever you got to do, and then you got to fuck off. You see what I'm saying? We're not like, again, at that level sort of thing to be saying stuff like that. Again, I think it kind of boils down to the band size and the venues and stuff. That's not weird. That's something that people will tell these photographers, like, hey, you get 3-4 songs, you better get what you need, because after that, you're done. And you got to make room for the people that are getting paid and hired to do this professionally. And
typically that kicks in once you have a barricade, because that's when the photographers get into the photo pit. And then it's after 3 songs, you get out and all the crowd surfers start coming over, if they're not already.
Yeah, that last tour we went on, you know, we had James Perry. He's great, by the way, James Perry. He'd come on stage and, you know, he's like a ninja. He's trying to like, we're a high energy band, right? So I'm like crabbing out, spinning my guitar, and he's like dodging stuff, like out of a war movie or something, trying to get like video and photo and stuff. Like, you got to get the drummer, bro. That's the hardest one to get, but he's important. You know, and our drummer, Sam, he's a little diva. He needs his photos, you know? So James will be on stage and he'll be getting his shots or whatever. And it's hard when there's another photographer that gets on stage and sometimes you nick him. It happens. It's not like I hate the guy or anything like that, but it's like, if I'm throwing my guitar, man, you got to have some spatial awareness. So going back to the flash thing you're saying, if you're shooting a high energy metal pop punk show, pay attention, man. It takes some athleticism to be a photographer in this scene. It really does. But anyway, sorry, I know we're going off the rails here. But so yeah, guest press list, try to just, moreover, be respectful of the venue. Trust me, you do not want to rep as like, oh, the guest list band or whatever. So miscellaneous, I always leave it open-ended, and I'm just like, anything else important we should know? I'm trying to think of an example, but like, we played a House of Blues one time, Boston. There was a Red Sox game going on, like against the Blue Jays. So it was like a divisional game, and it was like late in the season. It was like August. This was back in, I can't even remember what year. It was the year that, I'm pretty sure it was the year they won the World Series. So like 2018. Yeah. So we're playing like House of Blues, and that would have been nice to know for sure in the advance that there was a Sox game going on literally across the street, and there was a billion people walking by while we're trying to load out. That would have been nice to know, for example. So like events in the city, stuff like that, those are helpful. Some honorable mentions I didn't include here, local food places. I'm someone that really enjoys food and cuisine. Unfortunately, I don't really have the budget to go exploring too hard, but if you guys have money and you have the budget for it, might not be a bad question. Just be like, hey, what's the good cuisine around here? What would you recommend? That's a common question. Hotels, again, if you're a budget band, like Chain Reaction, we're playing Chain Reaction in LA. Part of their show writer was like, oh, if you need hotel options, I think they have affiliations with certain hotels, so you can get like discounts and stuff. So it's great if that's in your budget. And you know, we're a Walmart parking lot band as of right now, so that's kind of our vibe. But like I said, if you got to spare a couple $100 and want to go do that, go for it. I mean, I think that's pretty much it. Anything else? Or I want to go over the end of the email, if that's okay.
Yeah, please do. I was just going to say, that's a great list.
Yeah. And like I said, I could even probably boil this down more if I want. Guys, less is more. I know this has been a long podcast. I've been talking forever, but less is more. Don't be fooled. So that's the list. That's what, 14? I could probably whittle it down to 12 if I really want to, or even 10 if I get rid of some of the questions that don't matter till the day of show, like Wi-Fi, for example. You know what I mean? I'm not going to lose sleep if I don't know the Wi-Fi password of Chain Reaction. Like, you know what I mean? I'll just ask the bartender when I get there. So there's certain things you can pick your battles on here is my point. But that's my list. That's what I'm rocking right now. I'm sure that will change by the time even this podcast airs. Then I'll include our advancing materials. So it says SV Advanced Materials. Inside there, I'm just going to quickly tell you what's in there. I'm not going to actually break it down for you because that's going to take too long. I got our bio, Singing Vice bio. I've noticed a lot of venues like to put the artist bios in like the ticket links. Like Higher Ground does that, for example. And like, I just noticed that trend. So I'm like, fuck it, I'll just send the bio with it. Google Doc for bio. Logo, obviously, duh. High-res white PNG, guys, come on. I'm so sick of, as a designer, I can't tell you how hard it is getting multicolored gradient logos from bands that are just yep. low-res JPEGs. I'm like, are you serious? High-res white, solid RGB white PNGs, okay? Nice and legible, okay? That's what we want. Or black, right? Pick or choose. Or both, if you want to be like me, an overkill. SV contact info. That's just a list of like who's on our crew. So there's six of us. Yeah, our band plus Taylor and Evan. Yeah, so six of us in the crew. Cool. And like our respective contact info, right? So that's what that is. SV payout info. So going back earlier, you know how I said like, we like getting paid in checks. That's what I have here. Preferred payout method, check. Here is our bank routing, blah, 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 in case they want to do a direct deposit, which has happened. That happens a lot, actually. Here's our Cash App, which is great. Fucking hate Venmo, whole different story for another time. And PayPal, the whole big pharma, big PayPal. No, I'm all good. Cash is obviously fine. It's not king though, as a band. Getting paid, I want to check personally. But moving on, a promo, a nice clean promo of the band. That's super helpful. Our show writer. So the show writer is just like amenities, food, stuff like that. Your allergies. Oh, by the way, that is a great question that you could ask in your advance. Sorry, this isn't in our advance because I told you I'm sober. You could ask their drug and alcohol policy. That's not weird. Actually, you know what? That might be a better in-person question. I just realized because some venues might be like, I'm not saying on record, but you can go smoke in the green room or whatever. Some places are 420 friendly, you know, and some places are very much not like that. Like Texas, we found out, is not like that. So, you know, you're playing a bunch of states on tour, guys. Like they have different laws and they can contrast drastically. You cross one border and it's a different game. So take it seriously. So yeah, show writer, what's next? Vehicle info, very important. Year, make, model, plate number, very important. Trailer, 6x12, license plate, total length of your rig, length of just fan. I don't know why I included that. I guess just to be bougie, but yeah. So I have everything they could want to know about my vehicle. Next, W-9, right? For tax stuff, very important. If you guys don't know what that is, Google it, please. Do yourselves a huge favor and Google what that means.
Yes, absolutely. IRS W-9.
Yeah, I'm sure James probably has podcast episodes about that. So yes, W-9. And last but not least, the most important piece of your advancing, drumroll. Leyland, get a drumroll sample going in here, effects. Most important piece of your advancing package is stage plot, okay? Bare minimum, that's what you need to send venues. If you guys don't have a stage plot, make one. Or have a friend make one. There's tons of free ones out there. James has probably talked about this a bunch.
I used to use Stageplot Pro, which I still do, but it's super glitchy now.
Yeah, I just use Photoshop because, you know, I have those skills. But there's, like I said, tons of free ones online. Tons. Or make the business investment of a whole whopping $4.99 and get it done, okay? Or ask a friend or something. But get a Stageplot, guys, please, bare minimum, okay?
And keep it up to date.
It's so funny. I started advancing and every venue or every promoter got back to me. Some of them were like, yeah, send over your stage plot. And I'm just thinking to myself like, bro, I just sent it to you. Like, what are you talking about? And I look in my folder and it's not in there because I'm in the middle of redoing it right now because we have tour prep next week. There's a couple things. We have a different lineup now than we did before. So like, there's a couple things I have to adjust. I can't figure out for at least a few more days. So I just never updated it. I never put one in there, but I'm already advancing. So you see what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, geez. But I don't want to tell them the wrong thing and have them run with that to the finish line. You see what I'm saying? So like, I don't have an answer for that one. But in any case, yeah. So a link to that folder. Again, it's updated real time. So when I do upload it, it'll be there magically and they'll be nice and honky dory. Lastly, I end with a nice, again, personal Oreo of a happy, happy, happy business, happy, happy, right? How all your emails should be. Again, thank you so much for the help. If you have any questions or concerns yourself, please feel free to reach out and let me know. I said man in this case. Sometimes you want to throw, you know, jargon in there just to be casual. And I said, we'll see you soon. Then I said, Robbie Litchfield, guitarist / tour manager, my phone number. And then I have our, whatever, our email signature for the band. Let me ask you something, James. Can I pick your brain on something?
Absolutely.
So for me advancing as like a tour manager, obviously there's like a weird conflict of interest because I am in the band, right? So I'm the guitarist. I've been advancing through my band email, through the Saving Vice email. Should I be doing it through my own personal email?
I think it's fine either way. Whatever is easier for you.
This one's easier for me.
Yeah, then keep doing it that way.
Okay. Plus my bandmates are so nosy. I don't know if you guys can relate, if any of you guys are like the leaders in your band or whatever, do a lot of the business stuff. My bandmates are so nosy all the time. Like, I can't tell you how many times I got asked over those 5 days of like rebooking this stuff. Like, where are we at? Where are we at? Where are we at? Like, you know what I mean? Like, everyone's just twiddling their thumbs anxiously. It got to a point where I just shared the spreadsheet with them because I'm just like, I'm just so sick of questions. It's getting updated real time anyway in a Google Sheet. Like, there's nothing in there that I don't want them to see. Like, it's, there's nothing sensitive in there for my bandmates at least. So it's like, but oh yeah, by the way, guys, keep spreadsheets of your shows, right? Promoters, dates, venue names, addresses, payout, like the deal you guys made, your guarantees, door deal, back end, all that stuff.
This is an opportunity for me to pitch something. I have a free master show log, which you can go to bandhive.rocks/history to get. And not only does it let you log all your shows, but there's a little like 80s video game retro style dashboard, which shows you your highest pay, your lowest pay, your average pay. The same for attendance, your highest, your lowest, your average. Merch per head is in there. All that kind of stuff. So you have this really neat dashboard view of like, hey, this is how we're doing as a whole. And then you can go in and view the details on the next tab of the spreadsheet.
James, have you shared this with me in the past?
I might have.
Please share this with me because I would love to check that out. That sounds awesome. I think what we have is pretty thorough. But if you guys couldn't tell, like the whole point of this is when you collab with other people, you're going to learn new things. Here's another great example. We were on the tour with Revenant. I mentioned them earlier. They've been doing this for a while too. In fact, longer than us. And I remember looking in their trailer and they had this weird like clothesline around the inside of their trailer. And it was a comparable size to ours. And they had like their stage clothes hanging there, like on coat hangers and stuff. I just thought that was so genius. You know what I mean? They picked it from some other, like Born of Osiris when they went out with them or something. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like one of those things where it's like, I just love how touring bands and everything, like we share ideas. Like James, I'm sure you picked up a bunch of stuff on this interview, you know, maybe you haven't thought of. I just love learning and like sharing knowledge. And it's like, I know I'm not perfect. I'm always trying to build my systems to be as efficient as possible. Because when you're trying to juggle all these different things, guys, you have to write stuff down. You have to have systems, okay? You need this stuff for your business. If you want to succeed in a band, you can't just muscle through it with good songs. It's not like that anymore. You need to have fundamentals. And I think that's the whole mission of what James is doing with the Band Hive, which I think is great. I love it.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
In another life, I'd love to be your co-host or something. You know what I mean? Like, I love this stuff. And I love paying it forward to other bands out there listening that don't know any of this stuff because I had to learn a lot of this by myself through trial and error.
Absolutely. Like, there is so much to it. And I think you're already halfway there to being a co-host because I'm going to split this up into a two-part episode. So you're going to have two weeks
so
in a row.
I'm so sorry. I am so sorry, James.
I am stoked about this. And because we're talking about two different things, I'm going to split it where we talked about the assets is going to be one episode and the advancing is going to be a separate episode.
That's totally fine. I'm sorry, Leland. I am so sorry, sir.
Well, Robbie, man, it has been a pleasure. I just sent you the link on Facebook Messenger. For anyone else who wants to get that spreadsheet, it's totally free. Head on over to bandhive.rocks/history. Aside from that, savingvice.com. All the tour dates are there. You're at Saving Vice everywhere. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all of those places you're on there as far as I know. If you're in an area where Saving Vice is playing, please go check out the End of Winter Tour. Like Robbie said, this is your last chance to see a lot of those songs live. So go do it. And I'm sure the ticket prices are reasonable. It's probably like $10 to $20 for most of those shows.
Yeah, exactly. Super affordable. Anyone who's here that's, regardless if you're a fan of my band or you want to pick my brain, you guys are all more than welcome to come out and hang out. Like, I'm a pretty easygoing guy. I love clearly talking with people about this stuff. You know, if you want to hang out after the show and, you know, rip a couple butts or whatever and talk business, I'm so for it. You know what I mean? So please, yeah, everyone here is welcome. I love meeting new people.
Awesome. Well, Robbie, thank you again so much, man. I really appreciate you taking the time to sit here and just nerd out with me. This is the conversation I love. Like, just thank you so much, and I hope you have an amazing weekend, and best of luck on tour.
Thank you, James.
That does it for part two of my interview with Robbie Litchfield of Saving Vice. Thank you so much for tuning in to both parts of this, and I hope that you'll do us a huge favor and subscribe to the podcast so all of the tips that we share in the future, you can hear those as well. And we do have a backlog of 176 episodes that you can also check out. You can find those at bandhive.rocks/podcast. We'll be back with another brand new episode of the show next Tuesday at 6 a.m. Eastern. Until then, I hope you have a great week. Stay safe. And of course, as always, keep rocking. Hey, you. Yeah, you, with the headphones or the speakers. You've made it to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening. While I still have you here, if you're not already in the Bandhive Facebook community, it would be great to see you there. We have over 600 like-minded musicians who are asking questions, sharing their experiences and advice, and much more. So if you want to improve your band's business, look no further than the Bandhive Facebook community. You can find it by searching for Bandhive on Facebook, that's Bandhive, or going to bandhive.rocks/group. Again, that's bandhive.rocks/group, and that will automatically redirect you to our Facebook community. I look forward to seeing you there soon.